Hey guys, welcome to another episode of East Coast Rams Podcast. I am your host, co-host Ashton here with my awesome co-host Zach. How are you doing, Zach?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Got some great weather coming for this weekend. Got some big football stuff coming up. We got the calendar release coming up, all stuff that we get to talk about here in this episode. So looking forward to it. How about you, Ashton? How are you doing?
It's the middle of just starting the summer. The weather doesn't want to be hot. It keeps on going from 75 to 40 degrees. My body can't take it. First year I really got allergies, so it's just terrible. So I am now more sympathetic to other people with allergies because I used to not.
Allergies come with age. They really do. I never had allergies either until I got older. So
Sucks. Before we start, guys, please like and subscribe and please comment below. What has been your favorite offseason move up to this point? It can be a drafted player. It can be a person we signed, a person we let go. Just what is your favorite down below? And tell us what game you will be going to no matter what the schedule dictates, because the NFL is always great with scheduling, as we all know, and we will find out here on the 15th. So, Zach, what is the latest in Rams news this week?
Yeah, so kind of I wouldn't say it's a shocker, but it kind of was a shocker that the Rams have decided to move on from Ben Skowronek. He's a fan favorite. He's a guy who got in there, got super nitty gritty. He did the hard jobs. He was a blocker. If you wanted him to be in the tailback position, he would do that. I mean, he was a all around good kind of utility knife. He could be everywhere. He was a special teams captain last year, but this is his fourth season, and really he wasn't playing a lot. So the Rams decided to part ways with him. It was initially reported that he was going to just be released and then be able to be picked up pretty much by any team on the waiver wires. But in the kind of a last minute effort, the Rams were able to make a trade with the Houston Texans. Don't get a lot out of this trade, but we do get to swap our seventh round pick for a sixth round pick with the Texans. But that is not until the 2026 draft.
Hey, 30 positions in a draft, 2 years. I mean, it's something. It's better than cutting them. You get something.
No, for sure. It is. It's something rather than nothing, but it's not really a whole lot. Hopefully, in 2026, I mean, we're talking about 2026 where we don't know what the status is of having Matthew Stafford, having Cooper Kupp, things like that. And so will that make a big difference as far as, rebuilding a potential roster? Who knows? But I know there's a lot of people out there there are a few people out there who are probably more upset about this than not. Shout out to you, Scoot. We know you love Benny Sko. And
have you checked in on him? Has people made sure he's good? He's good.
I mean, everyone has been reaching out to him because we all know how big of a fan he is. He's appreciative of all the kind words. It was his boy. He got to actually meet him and get his autograph, his jersey autographed, I believe during the Detroit playoff game. So really excited that he was able to do that while Benny Sko was still a Ram. But he is moving on, and now we are going to have to fill in that wide receiver four, wide receiver five spot, as well as now a special team spot, because he was the captain for the special teams. What are your thoughts about this move?
So my thing about Skowronek is I always thought he had a good amount of potential, especially after his first year, because he was consistently open. Like he clearly knew the playbook. He was decent to good at blocking, and he was good at running routes. He always had problems with his hands, and you just never really saw him grow out of that, at least, again, to being a good to great player to climb up that depth chart and really stay on the team, at least as a wide receiver. And so people can say he had a really good special teams resume, but our special teams has been historically bad, especially last year. But the 2 years before that, outside of the kicking and Matt and Gay, it just wasn't great either. And it was getting worse and worse every year. And I don't think that's all on him, but he was the special teams captain last year, and we didn't just
add special teams.
We had historically bad.
Right, but for a wide receiver on his third, fourth year, I mean, he was being special teams captain because they didn't really have anybody else in that special teams area to be a captain. Obviously, they weren't going to choose the kicker because, you know, that didn't end well. Their punter was a rookie. You know, there's things that they had. And so Skowronek was the best option to put him as that captain. And again, I think Skowronek, he played really well. Like I said, he was really that player when you needed someone to block, he was going to be a blocker. He did all the same things that Cooper Kupp, that Puka Nacua, that, you know, all the wide receivers before him did it, and he did it pretty well. The part that he didn't do extremely well was getting the ball. You know, there were several times, you know, whether it was through the playoff run, the Super Bowl game, where he had to step up. He had to step up when players went down, and he did the blocking right, but when it came to the catching, it wasn't always there. Mm-hmm. And he had the opportunity. When Kupp went down, he had the opportunity to fill in the spots. He had that opportunity. He was just never going to be that 1-2-3 man. And I think this is the Rams doing good on him to finding him a home before he goes into free agency after this year.
Well, I mean, to be fair too, what have they focused on? They focused on very recently improving their depth, especially a wide receiver, getting Tyler Johnson, getting Robinson last year, and drafting Whittington. Like, I just kind of feel like the quality of competition at the depth level wide receiver has gone so much better from when he was primarily in competition with the other depth. He just kept on dropping down their roster spot, and they couldn't justify giving him a roster spot. And they knew that he was probably going to end up losing out in camp. And why not trade him to other team that will at least give him a better opportunity of making the roster?
And I think that's the Rams doing good for him. I think that shows that he had the team's kind of respect to try to find a home for him without just releasing him. And they were able to make that happen. So good on Les Snead and his team to be able to make that trade work. Like you said, it does open up other doors. I would see that the Rams are going to look at other teams to see what other options they have at bringing in a wide receiver. Cause right now you're really looking at four wide receivers. You're looking at Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, DeMarcus Robinson, and Tutu Atwell. Those are going to be your four. Then you mentioned Tyler Johnson, who the Rams kind of let go and then brought back again. You know, him and DeMarcus were kind of fighting for time last year, and obviously Robinson took that time, especially when Tutu went down. So you have that, and then also it leads to, you know, some of the even some of the undrafted free agents that we picked up to at least battle for a depth spot or a practice squad spot.
Yeah. So like you said, there's really only five, and then you got four or five people here as undrafted free agents, kind of in Whittington fighting for like five and six. Jordan Whittington, Xavier Smith, J.J. Lapp, Drake Stoops, and Sam Wigglesworth. So I can't really speak to Xavier, Sam, and J.J. I do like Drake Stoops. Some of the video I've seen of him, he kind of seems a little intriguing to me. But like you said, I would not be opposed if we start off like 3-0, 4-0 for like, if there's a team borderline with a really good wide receiver, kind of like how Tampa Bay was like thinking about trading one of their two wide receivers, or a similar situation to where the 49ers have, like, they're going to have to trade one of their wide receivers. hey, the Rams could be in the market to trade a few picks and kind of go all in if they're really pushing, especially if Kupp has more injuries.
For sure. And I think that's the problem is like losing Ben Skoranek, you're losing someone who knows the playbook, someone who knows the schemes and knows how to shift the schemes. And, you know, it was a lot of work for Puka Nacua to get on that level. And he was able to adapt pretty quickly. The problem is if, you know, if something does happen to Cooper Kupp, if something happens to Puka Nacua, you're relying on Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson who are capable to fill those spots, but you're also trying to find someone else who's going to also take on their responsibilities as well. And we know there were, you know, you mentioned Tampa Bay. Rams were looking at getting Mike Evans. There's now reports that they're looking at that they're inquiring to get Cortland Sutton from the Broncos. This move just is interesting. I mean, we already know that the Rams were they were trying to get a more offensive weapon. I mean, bringing in someone like Brock Bowers, if they could have in the draft, you know, that would have been an offensive weapon that, you know, could
he can line up as slot. He's exactly. Quick enough. So and they probably would have done that too.
Oh, if Brock Bowers was available for the Rams, they would have taken him. And that's the spot that I think they're also trying to fill. And unfortunately, Ben Skoranek is the casualty of this, but he's going to a team. He's, you know, so I hope his continues to grow.
Would you be open for trading for Ayuk or Debo?
That's not going to happen. I don't foresee Debo ever.
The Lions traded to the Vikings 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I think that's a little different, man. I mean, you're talking about their tight end situation. But I don't know.
They have to trade Ayuk. They have to.
Sure. I don't think Debo. They have to trade one Rams. I don't think Debo would go to the Rams.
It doesn't. He doesn't have no trade clause.
But I think they would.
If the Rams are aggressive, I could see the 49ers. Like, I'm talking about if the Rams are 4-0 and, like, Kupp gets hurt, I could see the Rams asking a few teams and offering a few first-rounders.
I just don't think it's going to be Debo. That's my point. I agree with what you're saying. I agree with you other than the fact
that I don't think it will happen. I'm just saying, like, there's a world where, like, they get aggressive, right? I think Olave potentially could be a trade candidate. I don't know if the Saints decided to pay him yet or not. I'm trying to, we'll talk about that later on, especially it kind of depends on week 3 or 4. I don't think they would make a big trade like that unless if it's right before, what's the camp right before the season? Cause they have 3 or 4 camps. I forget the name. But the last camp before the season starts, I could see them trading then or just waiting until right before trade deadline, depending on how their record is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're going to pick up another receiver before the beginning of the year. They're trying to build Matthew Stafford's weapons. And again, I like the weapons that we currently have, but I think there's room that we could improve if we have the opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the money this time around. So I think we can make that work.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Stafford's contract? Stafford is out there asking for more money. He's a second Rams quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Are you pro paying Stafford more? Are you against it? I think he's asking for more guaranteed, not necessarily more money.
Yeah, that he's asking for the guaranteed because right now his contract is through 2025, but he's only guaranteed money in the season 2024. So he's looking for his future. And I think the Rams, they're trying to play it cautious because, again, they love Stafford. They want Stafford to be their quarterback for as long as Stafford feels comfortable playing the game. The question will become, is he going to be healthy enough for the money that they're going to spend? Like, can they afford to give him all that guaranteed money for 2025? Again, I would give him the money, but you always have that back in your mind. Like, what happens if something happens this season? Then you're out that money. Now you don't really have the opportunity to get yourself back up. And I think other teams have done that. recently. You spend all this money on a person and they get injured, something happens, they, you know, this, that, or the other, and then you now have this huge contract and they're sitting on your bench, aka Browns.
That's a little bit different, not because of injury. I almost feel like if a quarterback gets hurt, it doesn't matter. Like, the chances of you significantly making a, like, 2017 Eagles-like run is so – that's only happened once or twice ever in NFL history. So, like, I frankly don't think it really matters. I think he's earned the money and he's earned the trust. You just have to be prepared. Like, you have to invest in backup quarterback with the older quarterback. That's just reality.
I don't think there's any bad blood. Obviously, Stafford is participating in everything. He's on the, on the field. He's throwing the ball. He's running the routes. So I think this is just he's asking for it. The Rams team and his team are talking behind the scenes on how to get this something accomplished that's in benefit for both parties, and that's the way it goes. I mean,
it makes them more tradable too. People have to think about it. If, let's say, he gets hurt and misses 3 or 4 games, and the Rams decide they're not going to extend him, and they could trade him
think everything that they've done over this past offseason would indicate they're wanting to trade him? I mean, they did a whole documentary, a micro mini documentary for him. Now, did it tell us really anything new? No, but they're doing a lot to kind of keep him.
Todd Gurley was featured in stuff 10 months up to when he was cut.
Sure. Cut and trade.
It's a business. I mean, do I necessarily think they should do that? No. But again, that's like worst case scenario. I really doubt it would get that bad where they only have 3 or 4 wins on the season. I mean, it's a complete dumpster fire type season.
I mean, I think the Rams want to give him money. I don't think that they don't want to give him money. I think they want to see kind of how this season plays out before they do so. And so there may be some money that happens before the beginning of the season, but there are times where this doesn't even happen till midseason. So,
and teams would trade capital for him. You could get some real capital and set up your next franchise QB. The only problem is next year's kind of weak in draft. So I don't know. I think we're talking about like hypotheticals that won't happen.
I think the Rams are looking, they're still looking at their window of 2024, 2025 for their Super Bowl run. And with that, you need Stafford. So I don't foresee them trading him because they're trying to get that done in that window. And you have the best quarterback you possibly can. And, you have a top 5 quarterback with you. Let's not get away with that unless
top 10, but yeah.
I'm giving him top 5.
I would say like 6. So yeah. Let's talk about the schedule because it is coming out here in 5 days, and we will talk about that in 2 weeks. I think by then I'll know what games I'm going to. I don't know about you, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I won't know officially. I don't know. I'll kind of play it by ear. I have someone circled just because of the location of them. I hope to get out to SoFi. That's the one that will be kind of the iffy part just because of how it all works. But let's talk about it a little bit. I mean, we did kind of briefly talk about when they actually released who the opponents were going to be. So the Rams home opponents at SoFi, obviously you have the normal 3, 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, but you got the Packers, you got the Vikings, you have Buffalo, you have Dolphins, which is going to bring back, Super Bowl champs for the Rams in OBJ and Ramsey and the Raiders as well. So those are your SoFi home games for the Rams. And then their away opponents will be the Saints, Lions, Bears, Patriots, and Jets.
It almost feels like we have not played Green Bay at home in like 6 years, and we played them at their place like four times in a row. I think it was 2019 is last time we played Green Bay at home. Or no, it's 2018. That's the game where it was like we only won by 3 points. I think it was like 18-16. It was like some weird score. I just remember it was like week 4 or 5, and it was a weird game we played in.
It feels
I think
like
Goff had like two fumbles.
They might as well be a divisional rivalry because I feel like we just play them every year.
Yeah, we play them a lot. That'll be a fun one.
It will be. I mean, the ones that I'm looking forward to, obviously from the East, you know, the East Coast side of things, you know, Midwest area, I'm looking at the Lions and I'm looking at the Bears. Everyone is really hoping that the Lions and the Rams are facing off at each other on Thanksgiving Day. If that is the case, I probably will not be attending that game. But I mean, I get the reason why. A, it's the Lions and they always get a Thanksgiving game, and why not throw in Stafford versus Jared Goff again? I do see the anticipation of that, but it's definitely going to be a detriment, I think, to the Rams side of things, maybe to have it on that side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's pretty critical, at least when it comes to weather-wise, the Bears and Patriots, like, when do we play those two? The Patriots, that can get pretty nasty if it's past, like, December, really.
I mean, same thing with the Bears. I mean, you know, it's obviously not as farther north, but it does get really cold in Chicago. And so, again, I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping for the Lions. I'm hoping for the Bears. But it's also going to depend on the time of year because, you know, I'm a Rams fan, you know, California. I actually do just enjoy like nice weather and being inside and stuff like that. I do not want to be outside freezing my butt off watching them like some of the other crazy fans do. But, you know, to each their own.
Yep, and that's why we don't travel well. I will say, like, I do plan on trying to go to a SoFi game, only been to one, the Bears in 21. So the opening games for SoFi. But I do look forward to trying to go to other SoFi game. Getting to go back there after 3 years will be pretty nice. We definitely appreciate the fact that we can go. A lot of fans can't. So it's definitely a blessing. And hopefully my streak, Zach, the streak was alive and you saw it continue in Indy. And I'm hoping this season we can go to 6-0. And, you know,
I don't want to talk about a streak right now. Who do you think? Okay. So the question is going to be, who do you think the Rams will open up at home with? Who do you think their home opener?
Ooh, home opener.
We're going to put this prediction out. If you have a prediction of who your Rams home opener is going to be, put that down in the comments below. So we got the Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers, Vikings, Eagles, Dolphins, Buffalo, and Raiders.
I think the first game. I think their first game could be Lions-Rams, and then first home opener, I could see them putting us against 49ers.
I think the Lions might go up against the – I think it might be a Lions-49ers is going to be their opener. I don't know who's home in there, but
I could see them putting us against the Packers. I feel like Rams-Packers week one would be kind of like a fun home opener for the Rams and kind of like a fun week one matchup that to get a lot of interest. I think that would get great viewership.
Yeah, I don't disagree as well. I think so. I'm not feeling the Dolphins. I feel like we're going to wait a little bit for that one.
That's like a middle of the season type game to me. Buffalo, maybe. Because they like to have, they do like to have, what, five or six really high-key matchups in week one. And then it mellows out, right?
And so I could also see the Eagles, you know? I mean, you know, if we're thinking about it, I could see Eagles or Buffalo really being that week one.
They love to do, like, Dallas versus Eagles week one. They love to do that. I think they're going to play Dallas week one, to be honest.
The Eagles are?
Yeah.
Well, but, I'm just talking about the home. I'm talking about home opener. I'm not talking about week one. I'm just talking about who do you think they're going to play at their home opener, which could be week one. It could be week three for all we
know. Yeah, but I don't think they put that game week two. If our home opener is not week one, they're not going to put the Eagles week two. I feel like Eagles is like later in the year, and that's like a Thursday night game. Because the Rams are probably going to get here's a question for you, Zach. How many primetime games are they going to get this year? It's definitely not going to be two like last year.
I'm going to say four. I'm going to say
four.
Four. Two Thursdays, a Monday, and a Sunday.
I think they're going to get five. I think they're going to get five. They're a really fun team to watch last year.
As long as they can run the ball. Just the nights they didn't run the ball, they were not fun to watch.
Oh, they're going to run the ball this year, Zach. They're running the ball. I would be flabbergasted if future Ashton came on this and came in and was like, they didn't run the ball. They got all this nice personnel. They did all this talking about how they drafted other running back, that they're morphing their scheme and they're doing all this stuff. They signed the tight end just because he can run block, and they didn't run. I would be shocked. It is Sean McVay, but he has shown us he is willing to grow over years and change.
Over years. Yes, yes. So we shall see. But yeah, definitely let us know what you guys think. Who do you think they're going to play week one? Who do you think their home opener is going to be? And who do you think their first away opener is going to be? Please leave those in the comments below, and we will talk about that once the schedule gets revealed and see who was correct and who wasn't. Really, there isn't a whole lot else that's been going on right now. Right now, the only other news is that one of the rookies has officially been signed by the Rams. It's Brandon Fisk, our pick number two. He has a 4-year, $9 million contract, which includes 3.6 signing bonus. 7.6 is fully guaranteed. So, you know, there's some projections out there. I don't really need to really go into those, but yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how things go. I also know that Jared Verse, there's a lot of rumors that Jared Verse could be, you know, a popular pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So that's also a kind of exciting news too.
We'll kind of see how the defense, part of that is how the defensive scheme comes together and the schedule too plays a little bit into that. I'm wondering from your point of view, Zach, like, do you agree with me that rookie contracts should be fully guaranteed? I think especially for like running back, those contracts should be fully guaranteed. And then after that.
Well, I mean, I think it's guaranteed unless something happens. I mean, you know, who was our second round pick 2 years ago? Offensive lineman.
Ava?
No, 2 years ago.
Oh, you're talking about from Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Yeah. Those players. Not good. I know, but you have those players who you pick up in the early rounds, and they just don't perform the way that you anticipate them doing. I mean, you look at Stenson Bennett, a fourth rounder. you know, who he was gone for most of his rookie season. You have some times where I understand why you want to have that fully guaranteed, but then there's reasons why, like if you can't play in 3 and 4, then I don't think you should get it depends on the circumstance. It might not be football related. It could be non-football related. It could be, you know, training related or things like that. Like,
yeah,
it all depends on how this works out. Now, do I think that they should have some sort of like, you know, bodily harm insurance or something, like, or a payout or something? Sure. Let's include that. If we're talking about like injury related, like reasons why they should get their full guarantee. But I think there are some reasons why a rookie who you really only have their college film and their, you know, to base that on, you don't know how they're going to actually come in the NFL.
Well, you fixed the whole IR thing and worrying about getting cut and stuff by making it where if you're injured and on the roster, you don't count towards cap. Just do that and you'll fix that issue instantly. And it's up to team if they want to keep on paying you or not.
Well, the money has to come from somewhere. So,
I mean, they're not struggling for money, Zach, right now at least.
This is true. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think contracts, obviously, after their rookie year, I know the running backs, it's really tough on the running backs. They're one of the lowest paid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They're one of the lowest paid positions, but they're also one of the positions who play the
most physically.
Most physical. I mean, we talked about this before, and we don't need to rant about this. We can discuss it on a different episode, but I feel for the running backs. I really do.
Yeah. Yep.
So. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. It's a quick, easy 30-minute, you know, podcast. We'll get back here, you know, here shortly to give you guys another episode. Once the schedule actually gets released, we can give us our thoughts on kind of our, you know, really, really, really way too early predictions of how the season could play out with what we currently have at our disposal. So we're looking forward to that. But we are going to wrap this episode of the East Coast Rams podcast up. You can follow me on X at Zach Mayer. You can follow Ashton at RampanAshton1. You can follow us at our platform, or at our, you know, East Coast Rams at East Coast Rams. All of our socials, you can find us at eastcoastrams.com. Ashton, is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap everything else up?
Nope. I'm just kind of looking forward to our predictions. I know you love predictions, and you did.
I hate predictions, but I do.
I think
love...
you had 12 wins last year. I think you were at 12, and I was at 9 if the draft class was a complete hit.
All right. I am very over optimistic about my Rams team. I'm sorry. I get a lot of people who, you know, they put them in the comments like, you guys are way too optimistic about your team. I think there's a little bit of optimism.
I get told I'm negative about the team constantly.
I know. I think that we find the midst of over optimism and maybe sometimes over the other direction, but we love this team. We give you our thoughts straight. This is Ashton's thoughts. This is my thoughts. Whether we're over optimistic or over pessimistic, it's our thoughts. Feel free to listen. Feel free to not listen. But please listen and follow and subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/@EastCoastRams. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to listen to your daily podcasts. Please make sure, like, subscribe, smash the bell, leave us a review, drop a comment below. Love to see you guys on the socials. And with that, we are out. And as we always say, whose house?
Rams house.